Well, and I'd hate to have a baptism up here during the sermon, but thank you for the water, my brother. Anyway, time to go back to the old time way. That song I've been singing 20 years. It's followed me for 20 years. Amazing. And I want to thank my daughters and my wife for reminding me of the words. I couldn't have done it without them today. You know, I turned 44 2 weeks ago yesterday. I don't know if that had anything to do with it. You know, we'll find excuses for anything. But I do appreciate my wife, Olivia, and Karen and Katie being with me today here at Northview for homecoming. I know Olivia remembers coming here many times. I don't remember how many times Karen and Katie really remember coming here. Matter of fact, I don't even know if Katie was born. But anyway, always a privilege to come back and be here. And of course, some of our extended family from the Grove are with us, Brother Mike and Sister Joanne, who came out of this church. And I just want to say something real quick about them. You can be very proud of what God is doing through Mike and Joanne Anderson at our church at Pleasant Grove. Mike just rotated off as chairman of our board of deacons and finished a four-year term. And I believe, if he really wanted to, he could probably write a huge 300-page novel just about those 4 years, and it would sell very well. We had a lot of things that we had to deal with, and he did a stellar job as our chairman in the 1 year he was on with us. So thank you, Brother Mike. And Joanne, I call her Cowser G. McGregor. That was an old Farmville Facebook name that she named herself. And very active in Senior Saints Day Out. She's the one who draws the numbers for us and helps cook and everything else. Anything else we need? But good to see them here today. And we all decided we'd come back home together to Northview. What do you think? But I want to say this one thing about Lad Oglesby. I had this guy in 1990 call me at 1300 radio, and he'd say, hey, I want to hear "When I Knelt the Blood Fell" by the Greens. Who's this? Lad. Who? Lad. And I'm like, you know what? My nickname's Bubba. Well, that's not as bad as I know somebody named Lad, right? But anyway, good to see him today, and good to see everybody else here too. I remember many, many folks here. Of course, Osmond Park sticks out in my mind, who was a longtime member here, he and Miss Parks and what have you. Just good to be here today with you folks this morning. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 1 through 6 is where we'll go today, Northview. And I want to say God bless you, and again, thank you for the invitation to come and be with you for your homecoming 2012. This is a homecoming of sorts, as in my early preaching ministry. I remember filling in for Brother Frank Purvis many, many times and singing at revivals. But anyway, as we are here in 2012, we are just a few years older, but I like to call it we're just a few steps closer to glory. Amen. We're strangers passing through a land, but pilgrims, and one of these days we're going home to be with the Lord, and we can be excited about that. But yet, as we do, I wonder, have we gotten to the place? Are we watching, and are we waiting, and are we ready for the coming of Christ? And He will come in either one or two ways. He will either come by way of eastern sky, or else He will come by way of death to each and every one of us. And so we're talking a little bit about that today. And I use the term waiting first because of the fact that waiting is important, but working for Him is just as important. But if we get to the place that we work so hard for Jesus and we don't take time to worship Him, then we can't keep working because we'll run out of gas because we hadn't been to the fuel stop, which is taking time to worship. Worship is the seed of everything we do in the Church of Jesus Christ. And everything we do, and we teach this at the Grove too, you know, everything we do, you know, from the choir singing to communion service to Sunday school teaching to cleaning up the yard, all that's done because of this man called Jesus. He is the reason that we do all of that. He's why we preach. He's why Jerry runs the sound. He's why we do so many other things. And you say, well, that's so immature. All Jerry's got to do is push a button. Yeah, but somebody's got to do it. Amen? Praise God. The old wolf packer. I'm a Tar Heel. I know we lost yesterday. I heard you were a Wake Forest man. Amen. But yeah. I like deacons too, especially since I'm a pastor. But anyway... But he wants us working and watching for him especially, but yet we do not know when he's coming or when death is, but we need to be watching. And I believe in 2012, perhaps maybe the church has fallen asleep. Listen, 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 1 through 6. But concerning the times and the seasons, brethren, you have no need that I should write to you. For you yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so comes as a thief in the night. And when they say peace and safety, then sudden destruction comes upon them as labor pains upon a pregnant woman, and they shall not escape. But you, brethren, are not in darkness, so that this day should overtake you as a thief. You are all sons of light and the sons of the day. We are not of the night nor of darkness. Therefore, let us not sleep, he says. Let us not sleep as do others, but let us watch and be sober. Let us pray. Father, we thank you once again for this opportunity to be here at the Northview Baptist Church. And Lord, I just thank you for their ministry. And Lord, what it is they're doing for you. And I pray a special anointing upon this church, upon Brother Gordon and his ministry here. Lord, that you'll bless him in a great way. Lord, that you'll bless this service today, that everything that is said and done will bring honor and glory to you on this homecoming day, 2012. In Jesus' name, amen. As we look at this today, we see how it is that, and I love verse number one because of the fact that Paul here, we see an expectation he has for those who are saved as he is addressing the church. He says, concerning the times and seasons, brethren, you don't have any need that I write unto you because of the fact that he already is saying that you should be grown enough in the Lord to be knowing when to look for the signs of the times for the coming of Jesus Christ. He says, brethren, speaking to the church, and also laying out to the fact that that he should not even write to them, but should know the signs and the wonders of the coming of the Lord, sort of like it is today. Praise God for that breath of fresh air this morning. Amen. It was hot and it was humid yesterday, and it was hot and humid all last week, but you walk outside today and there's a breath of fresh air and the humidity's low, and somebody wrote on their Facebook today that it was so good to see a few golden leaves on the ground. I don't know about you, but I love to fall. And whenever you see that, you know that fall is drawing near. And Jesus talks about that even according to summertime in Matthew chapter 24, verses 32 and 33. Now learn this parable from the fig tree when its branch has already become tender and puts forth leaves. You know that summer is near. So you also, when you see all these things, know that it is near at the doors. And that word it means know that he is at the door at the very essence. Now, folks, I don't have to tell you what kind of perilous times we live in today. All you got to do is cut on the TV and there's a war here, there's a war there, there's something going on somewhere that you never would have imagined maybe even as a kid that would happen. But yet it is because of the fact that the devil is angry and the devil is mad. You know, he's real too, right? I mean, you know, we talk about heaven and we talk about the Lord and we talk about the goodness of the Lord. Oh, heaven is so sweet. The grass of the field is green. The sky is Carolina blue. The sky is blue. This sky, except today. How about that? The sky is blue, this and that, but yet thing about it is we don't stop to watch and remember that the enemy is out there trying to cause as much friction and as much many problems as he possibly can to try to hurt the cause of Christ and to stop you as children of God from knowing that he is going to come back. I believe that's why Paul, you know, you can read verse 1 and I just hear him sturdily just sort of telling the church, he says, you should not have any reason not to know the signs and the times of the coming of the Lord, because you ought to be mature enough as a child of God to know, as I have taught you and as the Lord himself has taught you, about the things that you shall see about the coming of the Lord. Folks, it's getting worse and worse. Now, I'm here to tell you this. When we allow sin into our society and we compromise with sin, I'm going to tell you this, folks, instead of standing up for righteousness, we are losing. Any kingdom that stands, folks, I'm going to tell you, or falls from within. You know what Khrushchev said in the early 60s? He said America would be conquered how? Without firing a shot. He was the leader of the former Soviet Union. And you know what? If things keep on, he's going to be a Russian prophet. Because of the fact that the wholesomeness and the pureness that this nation was found on, I'm going to tell you, folks, the wholesomeness and the biblical principles this nation was found on is slowly and surely and now quickly going out the door because America has compromised with sin and with the enemy. And folks, I'm here to tell you today that it's time that we know what that is, and that's handwriting on the wall. That's the signs of the times that Jesus might be right around the corner, and we need to be watching for the great homecoming to take place. It may be in 2012, it might be in 2013, it might be in 2035, but it doesn't really matter when it is. We just need to be ready for it. But you see, the thing about it is, in 2012, instead of watching and waiting for the Lord, we get to the point that we play church instead of have church. Amen. We play church. We do this. We do that and that kind of stuff. Folks, if it's in the name of Jesus and he's in the midst, praise God, do it. But if we get to the point that we're doing it just so somebody can say, look at me. You know, the Pharisees did that when they prayed. They went on the street corners, they prayed, and Jesus said, they've got their reward. People see them that they're doing this and doing that. And yet, thing about it is, folks, is everything we do should be unto the Lord. How is it that God has to remind us so many times, including the fact that he is coming again? In this busy whirlwind of a society we live in, we see how it is that it is so easy to forget. You heard me forget them words a while ago, right? James Kirby says this, our worship leader at the Grove, he says this, he says, you know, he says, it don't get any better. He's got a few years on me, don't he, Michael Joanne? I think maybe 30. But he says, it don't get no better. And you know, as I get older, I find myself changing a little bit, that things do slip. However, one thing I do know is the fact that Jesus Christ is the Savior of the world. And he came into my heart July 24th, 1988. And in September of 1989, he called me to preach. A lot of folks, though, all those years at the TV station that I worked there, a lot of folks didn't know I was a preacher. And then all of a sudden, I started preaching, and folks, I didn't know Barry was a preacher. Guess what? I still ain't. I'm just kidding. Some folks might debate that. I don't know. But anyway, Hebrews chapter 2, and in verse number 1, Scripture says this. Scripture says, therefore we must give the more earnest heed to the things we have heard, lest we drift away. Now the King James says, lest we let them slip or drift away or fall away. So we've got to listen and remember to the fact and be watchful and stop each and every day to know, Lord, this might be the day that the great homecoming takes place. Tomorrow might be the great day that the great homecoming takes place, but whatever the case may be, I want to be ready every day as if Jesus is coming before I get home at dinner time. If that's dinner, is dinner in the evening? Depends on who you ask, I reckon. Where my wife comes from in Onslow County on the farm, I think dinner was at lunch. Is that right? Where I came from in the town of Mount Olive, it was lunch. Yeah, country girl versus city boy, I'm going to tell you. But anyway, now we live in the country, and I love it. Amen. But anyway, they will drift away, folks. Things will drift away if we are not careful, because of the fact that old Slewfoot, the enemy, the devil, he is trying to pull away our attention from the fact that Jesus is coming again. Well, preacher, he died on the cross, and 3 days later he rose again, and that's it. No, he's coming back. He's not done yet. Praise God. Growing up as a young man, I used to think that Jesus died on the cross and he rose from the dead, and that was it. Nobody ever told me he was coming again until July 24th, 1988, when I heard a man say, Jesus is coming again. If you're not ready, you're going to get left behind. And I went, oh my goodness. You talk about a huge awakening. Jesus is coming. I pray that you're ready for the great homecoming today, folks. We must be careful. Isn't it amazing, though, how it is that we cannot remember the coming of the Lord and we forget it, but yet we never forget somebody who has hurt our feelings? You say, preacher, you're meddling. Well, folks, I'm going to tell you, that's how the devil works. He'd rather you remember somebody that's hurt your feelings or done you wrong than to remember the coming of the Lord, that it may take place in 5 minutes. Why? Because of the fact that that's how he works. I believe in 2012, we're dwelling on things, folks, that are very unimportant. You ever heard the term forgive and forget? It's time that we forgive, we forget, and we move on in the name of Jesus, because you see, that's what the Lord did for all of us on the cross of Calvary. He forgave us, and all of our sins were thrown into the sea of forgetfulness, never to be heard from again, when we asked him sincerely to forgive us of our sin. But you know, I heard this as a young man, as a teenager. I used to, one actually was an old girlfriend. Now, Livy and I have been married for 20 and a half years. I know you're wondering how long it was that I could put up with her that long. No, probably the other way around. Right, Brother Mike? But anyway, she said, I'll forgive, but I'll never forget. I'm like, well, then you never forgave. Because if you're not willing to forget, then you never had the heart of forgiveness to begin with. And folks, I'm going to tell you this, that unforgiveness will stunt a church's growth and an individual's growth in Christ more than anything, because he is the Father of forgiveness. Isaiah called him the Prince of Peace, the Everlasting Father. And if he's the Prince of Peace and the Father of forgiveness, then guess what? If we're going to proclaim him as our Savior, then we must take on his attributes and we must take on his characteristics, that we will forgive those who trespass against us as we pray in the Lord's Prayer. Do we ever pray it? Yeah, we pray it, preacher. Okay, do we ever practice it? One preacher told me this one time. I read a scripture to him. He said, yes, sir, boy. He said, that verse is easy to preach and hard to live. Absolutely. But folks, we must do all we can because of the fact that Jesus is coming again, and he tells us to be watchful and to be waiting. My wife has a term for this. We shared at the Grove, and I always tease Buck Peel about it. When it comes to forgiving and forgetting, forgiving and forgetting, she's told me many a times in our marriage to build a bridge and get over it. And folks, in the name of Jesus, if we are going to continue to walk with the Lord, we got to build a bridge and get over it in the name of the Lord. Because we've got to continue to go forward, and if there's something blocking our way, we need to build that bridge so we can get over it and keep going for the Lord. Because you know what? Even though those people came against Jesus and mocked him and persecuted him and just defamed him, he still kept on going. But let one person do something wrong to us, and I just quit. I ain't going back. Folks, I'm going to tell you what. It's time we do go back to the old time way, to the old landmark, because Jesus kept on going for each and every one of us. How many of us have truly forgiven and forgotten? Forgiving and had a willingness to forget it. You know, when the Lord forgave us, he forgot our sins, as we've already mentioned. Paul tells us that we should be responsible enough, I believe, spiritually. And I'll say this, I think if he were here today, he'd say, you as a Christian, if you're born again and you know the Lord, then you should be responsible enough to know that you need to forgive others of your trespasses. Forgive others of their trespasses, I beg your pardon. And yet today, I believe spiritually, to keep our eyes open for the coming of the Lord, or what I shall call the great homecoming, is very important today. For what a time it's going to be, as it was for the prodigal son, my brother. That was one of my scriptures this morning when you brought that out. In Luke chapter 15 in verses 20 and 23, and I'm not reading the whole story, but I'm just talking about the great homecoming that took place. And he arose and came to his father, and when he was still a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. How many of us, when somebody has transgressed against us, we have compassion on them that we hug him? You say, preacher, I ain't going to kiss him. Scripture says, greet one another with a holy kiss. But we're going to hug him and have compassion. Yes, I forgive you. One of the greatest illustrations, yes, I mean, there's many illustrations in the Word of God of forgiveness, is Joseph whenever his brethren came to Egypt. You know, they had sold him into slavery and thrown him in a pit and persecuted him. And yet, whenever they came, after he had tried to teach him a few little lessons, after they came into his room, he said, I am Joseph, I am your brother. You meant harm against me, but God meant it for good. And he forgave all of his brethren for the things and the trespasses that they had done to him. And yet there are things people do to us, and we'll say, I just soon sit here and eat nails than have your forgiveness. Folks, look, Scripture says, do not let the sun go down upon your wrath. And I'm going to tell you this, we need forgiveness today because of the fact that'll set us free, and we'll have a big revival if we do. Amen. Anyway, he says in verse 21, and the son said to the father, I have sinned against heaven and in your sight, and I am no longer worthy to be called your son. But the father, look, it's like the father didn't even recognize what he says. It says, but the father said, bring out the best robe and put it on him, and put on a ring on his hand and sandals on his feet, because I forgive him unconditionally. And folks, today we've got to have that unconditional love and unconditional forgiveness if we are going to be a part of the great homecoming that's coming that we're supposed to be watching out for, as Paul tells us in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. What a great time it's going to be. Folks, that great homecoming is on its way. But are we watching for him, or are we playing church? Verse 2 in our text sort of emphasizes a little bit about what verse 1 does. He says, "For you yourself know perfectly that the day of the Lord so comes as a thief in the night. Twinkling of an eye," says 1 Corinthians 15:52. It's going to happen just like that. Quickly. Very fast. Verse 3 says, "When they should say peace and safety, then sudden destruction comes upon them as labor pains upon a pregnant woman, and they shall not escape." In the 9 years almost I've been at Pleasant Grove, 42 members have passed. 42. One that always stick out in my mind is Brother Jerry West. My family knew him. Mike and Joanne knew him very well too. I get a call at lunchtime during the Western Conference of Original Free Will Baptists and said, "Daddy has collapsed in the bathroom," and he was just about to step out to go to lunch with his wife. And I get a call that he's not responding. So I leave the conference, go to the hospital. I get there. The most tragic thing I'll ever remember in my ministry, in my mind, is when his daughter-in-law looked. We were at Wayne Moore Hospital from here, probably to that first door down there, and she said, "He's gone." In the twinkling of an eye. "Ooh, preacher, I'm glad that's never going to happen to me." How do you know that? How do any of us know that? We don't. And folks, I'm going to tell you today that that's why we need to be watching, because he comes quickly. He can come quickly. In Revelation chapter number 22 in verses 12 and in verse number 20, "And behold, I am coming quickly," Jesus said. Verse 20 says, "Surely I am coming quickly." And in that twinkling of an eye in 1 Corinthians 15:52, who knows when death comes for us? It too could be quick. Are we watching for that? Hebrews 9:27, "It's appointed a man once to die, after this the judgment." Finally, in verses 4 and 5 and 6, in verses 4, verse 4 it says, "But you, brethren, are not in darkness, recognizing that they are children of the light, that they are children of Jesus Christ, so that this day should overtake you as a thief." You are children of the light, so therefore this day should not overtake you as a thief, because of the fact that you should already be waiting for the Master to come. Then he says in verse 5, "You are all sons of light and sons of the day. We are not of the night nor of darkness. If you're born again and know Christ as your Savior, then what a great homecoming it's going to be." Finally, in verse number 6, "Therefore let us not sleep." And then he says, "as others do." Who is that? Those are the ones that don't know Jesus. Those are the ones who don't know Christ. They sleep. They're not watching because of the fact that they don't know and they're not in the light. You ever go into a dark room? We all have. And it's dark, you can't see nothing. Then all of a sudden you cut on the switch and, "Oh, now I can see." That's what happened to me when I got saved. I don't know about you. Jesus cut on the light and, "Oh, Lord, now I can see." You know, that's why we sing the song, "Amazing Grace." "Was blind, but now." So make sure you're still awake. And your walk with the Lord today, have you drifted away into a spiritual sleep? Or are you awake, looking and waiting for the Lord? You're serving, but maybe to the fact that while you wait, you're working while you wait, but yet are you working more than you're looking for the Lord? Has the devil blinded you to his coming, or even death coming to your house? And that's maybe even to our own selves today. Have you forgiven and forgotten? If you haven't, perhaps you are partially in the dark still. That's why you can't see the vision of the great homecoming. Because of the fact that there are dark clouds around you that are blinding that vision. You know, it was great to wake up this morning to a sunny day because the last several days have been cloudy and foggy. And when the girls drive to school, Karen's a sophomore at Wayne Community and Katie's a senior at Charles B. Acock. I always tell them both, and of course Olivia too. As a matter of fact, I sent her a text the other day or something, I think. But anyway, she's been driving my car because the window fell out. And it's covered with a plastic bag until the window comes in tomorrow, Lord willing. But anyway, so I kept trying. I said, look, you need to do this and you need to do that. She says, I know. You know, she's been driving 2 years more than I am because she's just a little bit older than I am. But anyway, either way, those clouds finally weren't there this morning. There was a clear sunny day and there was a new spark in the air. And praise God for it. Let me tell you, folks, that today, spiritually, if there are clouds surrounding you today, if you call upon the name of the Lord, they will vanish. And you'll be able to see much, much clearer if you'll trust in Him. I pray that you're watching and that you're waiting for the coming of the Lord and that you've got forgiveness and that forgetfulness in your heart that I'm willing to forget that I may move on. You know, unforgiveness is like a huge rock. You don't want to go nowhere. But you know what? If Jesus Christ rolled away the stone when He rose from the dead, that rock that's in your life, He can pick up and throw. But you've got to say, Lord, I'm willing to give it to You. Would you pray with me this morning? Father in heaven, we thank You for Your many blessings today. And Lord, I thank You for this opportunity to be here with these folks at Northview Baptist for their homecoming. And Lord Jesus, we come today, Lord, in this time of invitation. Lord, I pray that You'll lead, guide, and direct in a great way, Father, for You know our hearts and You know our needs. And while our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed today, just by real quick, You say, Pastor Barry, today, I've not got the forgiveness in my heart like I need to have. And it's an obstacle in stopping me from watching and waiting and even my worship of the Lord. Just by slipping up your hand real reverently, you say, Pastor Barry, please pray for me that I'll call upon the name of the Lord, that He'll roll that stone away, that I may be set free of those dark clouds and that He may cut on the light for me. God bless you. Anybody else, just by slipping up their hand, God bless you today. Anybody else, God bless you today. You say, Pastor Barry, I've not been watching for the coming of the Lord because I've been too busy. Don't let it take something tragic to stop you all of a sudden in your tracks to say, Lord, I'm sorry, I should have been watching. You say, please pray for me that I'll stand still, know that He is God, and watch for Him more and more every day. Just by slipping up your hand, say, preacher, please pray for me. God bless you. Father in heaven, You've seen the hands, but most of all, You see the hearts. And I pray, dear Lord, for this time of invitation, Lord, that You'll bless in a great way. We pray, Father, that You'll just speak to hearts, Father, and we just thank You and look for the great homecoming one day. In Jesus' name, amen. Brother Pastor. Thank you.
Lord and Heavenly Father, we thank you that we can put our trust in you. That one day you are coming back to take your bride. We thank you. Help us to be ever watchful, ever mindful, and to tell the world of you. Be with us as we depart. Bless the food that we're about to partake of. Be with everything we do for the rest of the day, for the rest of the week, till we come and meet again. We ask this in the holy name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen.